to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight we're going to be looking at a specific topic, and it's kind of a follow-up. Not a follow-up in like a part two, but they're interrelated to the lesson that we had last week. I won't ask you how many remember what we talked about last week. That would try probably all of us. But last week, the topic was keep growing. And we talked about how no matter what age we are, and I don't even mean physical age, although it includes that, but spiritual age, we all still have more room to grow. We need to recognize that. We need to be willing to humbly admit that and actively work on that. Tonight, we're going to talk about something that actually is part of that process, but also kind of continues it on a little bit. And I'll give you the title in just a moment. But first of all, a true or false question. Many times, the great things God does start small. True or false? True. So what are some examples? Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus, God, Amanda. Oh, okay. Current examples. Kids zone. Okay, some of the things that happen with our children. Start off with two kids and got more than that now. Yeah. All right, Lisa. David being anointed to be king. I mean, Samuel told Jesse to bring all his sons, and he brought all his favorite sons. David was the youngest. He left him out with the sheep. Small, insignificant in man's sight, but God's called one great man with his faults, with his problems, but a great man. All right, what are some other examples? Joseph, the story of his life, but especially the dream he had that was a small thing and didn't come through. Lori, and then Carlton. The cloud that was real small, and then it turned into a deluge, and God used that. Yeah, Carlton. Gideon. Yeah, especially he started out bigger, and God says, we're going to start smaller. You know, there's that old saying, little is much when God is with it. Yeah, the little boy's lunch that Jesus took and fed the great crowd with. Any other examples you can think of before we move on? What? Samuel, just a little boy, dropped off by his mom, dedicated to the Lord. You know, God likes to take little things and make big things out of it. It makes me think, yes, go ahead. That's right. The little boy's lunch that was used to feed the multitude. It's sort of like a seed. And I used this illustration recently. I can't remember if it was last Wednesday night or Sunday or somewhere. I don't know. If you've been here all those times, it's like, I remember hearing it, but I... Or maybe you remember hearing it. I don't know. Like a seed, so small, but you plant it and it grows. And we see God uses seeds a lot in the Bible. I don't mean physical seeds. I think of an oak tree that we had in our backyard. Unfortunately, it had to be cut down because I planted it in the wrong place. Anyway, our daughter Misty, a long time ago, had taken an acorn, planted it, grew it into a little oak tree. She gave it to me as a gift. I transplanted it to a bigger pot, and it grew about this big. Then I transplanted it into the yard, and over the process of probably 15 years or so, it grew about 30 feet tall. And the reason it had to be cut down is because I planted it right underneath these electric lines, never dreaming anytime within the next 30 years it would get that tall. But anyway, beautiful tree. But anyway, it just grew from an acorn. But as you think about that, you know, oak trees are known as some of the strongest trees that there are. But it just starts with a very simple, small act, planting an acorn. And I didn't really need to do much about it. In fact, I didn't have to do anything, but I did. You know, I trimmed it up from time to time, pruned it, you know, didn't really have to water it or anything like that. It didn't happen overnight. The growth was very slow. Okay, still quicker than I thought. But you couldn't notice from day to day. But ultimately, it wasn't anything that I did that caused it to grow. It was the laws of nature and everything that God put in the way he created this world. But the thing is, it never would have grown there, at least not in that way, that place, that way, if our daughter had not planted the seed. So the planting of the seed was very, very important. So I want to talk a little bit about these seeds, and we're going to be looking at one of Jesus' lesser known parables in Mark chapter 4 that has to do with seed. And we see that God uses seeds in spiritual areas of life. Like I said, last week we talked about keep growing. We talked about 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this week I called the Bible study, keep sowing. Okay, keep sowing. Not with a sewing machine, but keep sowing. So as we're growing, which we talked about last week, we have the privilege of sowing into other people's lives so that they can grow and in ways that can make tremendous impact, whether we're talking about people we're really close to or complete strangers. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. And as I said, this is one of Jesus' lesser known parables. And it says, "And he," Jesus, "said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." So Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a seed, or seeds that grow. And this individual, this man, or whoever it is, they plant the seed, they scatter the seed, but then natural processes just take over. Okay? Granted, you know, this is a simple story. There can be more, you know, farmers can get involved in watering, fertilizing. But in general, you know, you've got somebody that plants a seed, and then it's in the hands of God and in the nature that he created. So there's a couple of thoughts I want to bring out from this parable in general, but also about the idea of planting seeds and then how that applies to us being used by God to plant seeds in other people's lives, okay? But first of all, let's talk about it. It says the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. So we talk about the kingdom of God. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? What comes to your mind when you think of the kingdom of God? Okay. Everything that is part of God's kingdom in the sense that he created it and he is Lord over it. Of course, there's been a great rebellion. We've all been influenced by that. We've all been a part of that. So I totally agree with you. But, you know, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," because it is not fully yet, although it will. So then, if all is part of God's kingdom, but yet there's part in rebellion, what part is already where it needs to? And how do we define the kingdom of God in a very practical way, as far as in our own lives or in this world? Because Jesus said the kingdom of God's come, it's going to be coming, and we have a part to play in that. Alwin? Okay. So you say a place where God dwells, okay? I would want to refine that a little bit to say a place where God, well, I can't really, I was going to say we're a place where God rules, but God rules everywhere, but where God's rule is carried out. Because you just talk about how God can't dwell where sin is, and I understand what you mean. I mean, God's everywhere, even where sin is, but yet his presence is not manifested. It's not fully manifested where there is sin, because that's in contrary, but where God rules. You know, think about an earthly kingdom. Okay, where is an earthly kingdom of an earthly king? It's wherever his power is felt, wherever he rules, wherever his will is carried out. And so there's a very real sense in that the kingdom of God in its fullness, because as Carlton said, it's everywhere, but in its fullness is where God's purposes are accomplished. Okay, his rule and his reign. In us, in other people, in the church, in the world, wherever God's purposes are being accomplished. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Lord, your will be done, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." How well is God's kingdom and will done in heaven? Perfectly, but not here on earth yet. But there are places where God's kingdom is breaking in and his will is being done. And I would say that Jesus is trying to tie that all back to these ideas of seeds that are planted and then begin to grow. Carlton, you had a comment?
I think of Revelation 5.
Yeah, I mean, God is always actively at work in the world, in people's lives. As you quoted, you know, Jesus said in Revelation, "I stand at the door and knock. When the door is opened," you know, we have a part to play in that. You know, when we talk about praying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," we have something to do about that too. You know, we need to, as we pray that, we studied that, I think, a year and a half ago. We talked about praying the Lord's Prayer and trying to live that out. You know, we want to pray that, but we've got to do our part to spread God's kingdom and to do His will and to accomplish His purposes. So a couple of thoughts from that or about that in this parable is that growth in God's kingdom is a result of God's work. Okay? Growth in God's kingdom is a result of God's work. We have a part to play, and that's what we're going to focus on. But this parable talks about our part being scattering or planting the seed. But then after that, who's the one that actually brings about the growth? God does. You know, in the story, it's like, okay, the guy planted seed, but then he went to sleep, got up night and day, indicating over and over and over again. But then as part of the natural processes, and God's behind those, the seed sprouts and grows, you know, first a little teeny tiny sprout, and then in fact, he says is first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain, and it's all a result of God's work. So there's a number of things that we can and should do, but ultimately it's God who brings the growth, okay? The life of the seed, the growth process, only exists because of God. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, when he was talking about, you know, how God moved in Corinth and the church was established, the people that were involved, and there'd become, unfortunately, some discord and stuff, and people were saying, well, I follow Paul, and I follow Peter, and I follow Apollos, and I follow this guy. And he says, listen, none of us are what's important. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now, I don't know about you. I mean, we haven't gotten into the real practical of what does this mean in our lives and all that, but that brings a lot of comfort to me and also takes a lot of burden off of me. Okay? Because that means that I've got to do what I can do, what God's called me to do, but then I can rest. Because the rest is up to God. And when we're talking about people, of course, it's up to the other person too. They have choices to make. They have things to do. They have to respond. Like Carlton said, knocking on the door. They've got to open that door. But our job is only to plant the seed. Okay? And we'll talk about what that means in a minute. So growth in God's kingdom is a result of God's work, but growth in God's kingdom is a process and takes time. And we said the same thing about growing in our relationship with Him last week, and that can be very frustrating. Why is that so frustrating? What'd you say, Lori? Because we're impatient. You know, we want things now. And even good things, you know, we want to see that if we're working with the kids in Kids Zone, like Amanda does and Carlton and Melva, and, you know, or we're doing this in ministry and it's like, I want to see the results now. And sometimes you don't see any results for a while. You know, when you plant a seed, it depends on the seed, but it takes a while before that seed begins to poke it up. Were any of you like those kids that they plant the seed and the next day they come back into class and they dig it back up to see if it's grown any? Yeah, we can all relate, or we've known people like that. You know, that's the way it is. We want it to happen fast. But what'd you say? It's only been 4 days. Okay. Yeah, she does realize that this is kind of the wrong time of the year to do that. Okay. Anyway, but you know, something else to think about. I don't have it on my notes, but it just came to me. That it's usually, not always, Tony can verify this because Tony grows all kinds of stuff. It's usually the stuff that takes the longest to grow that's going to be the strongest. You know, you think about the oak trees, you know, and that, but you think of weeds that sprout up and they do grow up overnight, you know, and they're persistent, but they're not very hardy as far as strength or whatever. So growth in God's kingdom is a process and takes time. And again, that can be frustrating. We want to see results now, especially if the growth we're looking for from the seeds we're planting is in somebody we care about, somebody we live with, and we're hoping it's going to result in changed behavior or whatever it might be. And it's like, hey, God, can you make this go on a little bit faster, a little bit faster? And there's probably people saying the same thing and praying the same thing about us. So growth in God's kingdom results in a harvest. Now, going back to the parable, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps, rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. All right, so we understand that in the terms of farming, but what does the harvest or can the harvest consist of in the kingdom of God? What is the fruit or the grain or the result? Souls? Okay, what about souls? Okay, I don't know if you're making new souls or no. Souls being won to the kingdom of God. And that's what the most often and probably the most important and the most obvious harvest is: people who don't know God, don't have a relationship with God. They hear the truth because the seed's planted and they respond and they become believers. Okay. Is there anything else that we could say would be a part of a harvest from seeds planted? Okay. So growth is not just individual souls, but also groups of people who carry out God's work. You know, the growth of the kingdom and the number of people. Okay, not just the individuals, but the number of people that are a part of the kingdom of God. And the church grows. A church grows. The church grows. Is there anything along the way, even before a person becomes a believer, before they respond to the message and surrender their life, that can be considered perhaps harvest in their life from seeds that are sown? Conviction. Somebody who could care less all of a sudden starts caring. Okay, they've not made the decision yet, but that's some harvest. So it's some growth. Lori? Yeah, sure. Any change that goes toward the positive. You know, again, the big result that we'd really want to work towards is to come to know Jesus. Okay. But any step taken toward that is a part of that and can be a result of seeds. And the only reason I'm spending so much time or this amount of time on this is so that as we're involved in doing this, and we all are to some degree, and hopefully we'll be even more enthusiastic about it after our lesson tonight, that we won't be quite as impatient or frustrated when things go slow if we notice that, hey, no, they've not made a decision yet, but they've taken this step. No, they're not ready to admit this yet, but, you know, they've got this going on in their life as a result of the seeds that have been planted. So, yes, Carlton. That's true. So we've got things before that are actually process and a partial harvest before that soul surrenders to Christ. But then again, after, there's more harvest to come. What else would be harvest after a person accepts Christ? That comes as a result of seeds. Discipline, okay? A life that has changed. That's a general category, but there's a lot of different ways that can be worked out. Okay. What else? Lisa? Obedience. Any way in which a person who now knows Christ as a result of seeds planted in their life, we'll talk about what that seed is in a minute, becomes more like what God wants them to become, which is obedience. All right. So when you talk about that, it can be actions. It can be attitudes. It can be character things. It can be all the things we talked about last week, growth. Once we come to know Christ, as a result of seeds being planted in our lives, any progress that is made is additional harvest or fruit. We talk about what is the fruit that should show up in our lives. Yeah, Lori. Mm-hmm. You know, a good way to expand on that is there may be situations where all we can do is just scatter seed and just trust God. Because we're in a passing situation, we're passing through, we don't know, we know whatever. But there's other times that we scatter seed in an environment where we're able to hang around and we can do other things like cultivate, we can water, we can nourish, whatever. You know, Jesus keeps it real simple here, saying that ultimately, no matter how much we're involved, it's still God that brings the growth, whatever we do, okay? But you're right. You're right. So as we already talked about, our primary responsibility in this process is to sow the seeds. In this story, again, we can complicate it a little bit more by saying, well, we can water, but it's still part of that process, okay? And in a minute, I want us to talk about what we can do to sow seed that will bring a harvest for the kingdom of God. But first, we got to decide, what is the seed? God's word, God's truth, okay? What we can know about God. In fact, earlier in this chapter is one of Jesus' most famous parables, of the sower and the seeds and the grounds, the soils, you know, and these could all be tied together, but we're not going to do that tonight. But, you know, and Jesus says specifically the seed is the word of God. All right. But I would propose to you that it's not just the words of the word of God, It certainly is that, and that is tremendously powerful because it's God's word. Whether we're talking about God's word spoken, read, shared, whatever. But I think there's more to it than that. Alwyn, were you going to say something? Okay, so, I mean, there definitely is application of these principles that could be true of finances or even physical growth of things. We know we're talking primarily about souls and spiritual aspects of it, but that's true. It could be applied that way too. But the point I was trying to make is that it's, the seed is not just the Word of God, but the effect of the Word of God in the sense of the Word of God that is lived out. If you're talking about how can I plant a seed in somebody else's life, if it's based on God's Word, I can do that by sharing God's Word, by communicating it, by explaining it, by helping people understand it. But it's not just that actual words or explanation, but it's demonstration. The demonstration of God's Word. What'd you say?
Lifestyle,
yes. As God's Word is lived out, those become seeds. You've probably experienced this, maybe even in your own life. Before you came to know Christ, what was it that led you up to that? It was definitely the truth that was communicated with you, but it probably also had to do with the people who communicated it, their lifestyle, and as already been mentioned, their love, their, you know, what they saw in, what you saw in them. And the same thing is true for us. So as we talk about how can I plant seed that may seem small but can have a tremendous impact, it's got to be based in God's word and God's truth, his character, but it's not just what we say, it's also what we do. What we do. Yes, Kingsley. Yeah, that's a great illustration going all the way back to Jesus of the whole church that exists all through history. And today goes all the way back to Jesus planting seeds in the disciples. And talk about starting with something small. He didn't choose the smartest people, the strongest people, even the best people with the best character or whatever. And it just shows that God can take anything and the seeds of his word. And what was the seeds Jesus planted? It was his teaching, but it was also who he was and how he lived and how he lived that out. Okay. And the same thing is true for us. I would say that some of the most powerful seeds, that we can plant that can come from us are especially those things that we say or do that can only be explained because of Jesus' presence in our life. Okay, there's certain things we can do in our own strength or just because we want to try to be a good person, but there are some things that we've got to have God's power and strength. What are some of those things that it really takes an extra something from God for us to be able to do that can be a real testimony or a seed? Carlton, give us one. Mm-hmm. Okay, that definitely demonstrates that it's not just what you say. You know, and you know, we see this in raising our kids. They are much more influenced by how we relate to them than what we say and what we do rather than what we just tell them. If it doesn't match up, they're not going to pick it up. Okay. So what are some of the things that God calls us to do that if people see that in our lives, it's like, okay, there really is something to that because it's not something that's just going to happen naturally. What'd you say? Loving your enemy. All right.
Prayer.
Okay. What else? How about forgiving people who hurt us? That's not going to be a normal thing. Amanda. A peace where there normally wouldn't be any peace. Same thing for joy. Okay. Being able to express love. Going out of our way to help other people in significant ways. I mean, a lot of people will be willing to do that, but in the significant ways. Loving people that aren't even very lovable. You know, again, the more that we allow God's word to have an impact on our lives and change us and the way that we interact with people and the things that we do can become great seeds to make a difference in other people's lives. Okay? And so that brings us to the whole question that I said we're leading to. How can I sow seed? Again, the main thought, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. If we are applying this to our lives, we want to see the kingdom of God come, God's will be done, as a result of our efforts. Obviously, God's the one that brings the growth, but we're called to scatter the seed. How can we sow seed? What does that look like in a very practical, realistic way? There's a lot of different ways to do this. So let's just brainstorm. What are ways that we sow seed? Lisa. So there's two very important aspects to what you said. One is asking God, you know, what he wants you to do, what you want you to say. And of course, following that up with, God, I need your help to do that. But then living it out so that people see Christ and his impact in our lives. Okay. What are some other specific ways, specific things that are ways that we can plant seed just in everyday life? Lori? Serving others. Yeah, serving others. Okay. Especially as we are able to do that in a way that people know it's because we love God, not just because we're trying to be a good person. You got another one? No. In fact, the harder it is to serve in a situation, the more of a testimony, the more of a seed it can be. Well, thank you, Lori. But can I also lovingly say, may God work that heart into all of us. And I think he does. I know he does. I know he does, but thank you. But yes, to have that heart, okay? But to serve others, especially when it's difficult to serve. How else, Amanda? Being with people. I'm sorry, I thought you were, go ahead. So being with people, especially in situations where they need somebody to be with them. And let me just add this in, and this is something we all have to wrestle with, is that when you are with people, that you really are with people. Because we can all be with people, but be somewhere else. Either in our heads, on our phones. Yeah. Melville's giving a testimony, raising her phone. You know, and we can all be tempted. And even say, oh, I'm not attached to a device. Oh, there's other things that can distract us. All of us can be distracted by something from being truly with someone. So being with someone is a way of planting seed. Norris. Mm-hmm. So you gave us, excuse me, I've got a dry throat tonight. You gave us two really important thoughts there. Number one, that it helps with our motivation to know that we're doing it for Jesus, not just the other person. Okay? So that's good. But also the process of it is that we're imitating Jesus. You know, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Okay? I'm imitating Christ. Thank you. I was going to say something about that too. Oh, that gave rise to that saying that was so popular years ago. Excuse me. WWJD, what would Jesus do? As we talk about how can I sow seeds and make a difference in people's lives, well, how did Jesus do it? Or how would he do it in my circumstance? Now, some situations are a lot easier to try to imagine what Jesus would do in that situation. Some things it's like, what would Jesus do in this situation? It's like, I don't have a clue, you know, because it's so different from something I can imagine Jesus being involved in. But we can always go back to, well, what kind of character would he show? What kind of attitude would he have? What kind of love would he show? So that's a good thing. What are some other very practical ways that things we can do, say, to plant seeds? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very important point. You become like people you hang out with. You want to become more like Jesus and be more like him to other people? Hang out more with Jesus. That's a whole other topic. How do you hang out with Jesus? You spend time with him. You spend time in his word. Yeah. Let's get close to the end here. I had a list here, and this is just a short list. I mean, lots of things. Speak words of encouragement to people that are discouraged, especially those that, the words that are in the thoughts that are founded on God's word and in God's principles. Okay. And it doesn't have to just be in person, you know, but call somebody, send them a text, send them an email. If you're old school, send them a card. If they remember to check their mail. But anyway, encourage others. You know, it doesn't cost a lot to encourage somebody. Okay. And we all know the benefit of that. We all need it. And we all know what it's like when we're going through a tough time and somebody encourages us. That's planting a great seed. Show an interest. You know, Amanda mentioned serving. So serving others is a way to plant a seed, but showing an interest in people who serve you. And we've talked about that before. You go to a restaurant and instead of getting really upset with the server or whatever, because they didn't do it exactly the way you wanted, you didn't get it quick enough, it wasn't done enough, it wasn't exactly right. You show an interest in the people that are serving you because we could tell you, and you probably know yourself anyway from our interactions with servers as the chaplains at Sonny's restaurant, servers don't get treated very well a lot. They get treated very poorly a lot. And it'd be easy to say, oh, yeah, but they kind of bring it on because sometimes they're really grumpy and they don't. But you know what? We don't know what all they're going through. You know, we get grumpy sometimes too and people don't know what we're going through. So, you know, show an interest in those who serve you. Build relationships. Meet new people. Help new people get to know others. That's a way to apply it in church, you know. Take time to talk to people who need someone to talk to. Pray for people. You know, we've talked about this before too. When you find out somebody has a need or they even ask you to pray, say, you know what, let's pray right now. And what's really encouraging and is a great seed is later on to remember what they asked you to pray about and ask them, hey, I've been praying for you about it. Don't tell them you've been praying if you haven't been, but you know, how'd that turn out? Can I still pray for that? What else can I do about that? Of course, anytime we get involved in ministry, whether inside the church or outside the church, or just doing what Jesus calls us to do, we plant seeds, of course, obviously by sharing the gospel, but invite people to church or to a certain activity or a group or whatever. You know, the Bible says a lot of people, not the Bible says, statistics and research shows that a lot of people, more people would come to church or a church group or an activity than do if they were just invited. Okay. And then, of course, the most obvious, which we've said, is share the good news and share what God has done for you. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. You know, I think all of us could probably think of a time in our life when somebody planted a seed that made a big difference. And to them, it may not even seem like it was that big of a deal, but it did make a big deal. And that should encourage us, do what you can, even if it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal, because you don't know what the difference is going to make in their life. It may not be obvious right away. You may never even find out about it, but just a kind word, an act of service or something like that can make a tremendous difference over time if we're patient, because it does take time to get a harvest, okay? So, again, the main thought in this parable is the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. I hope, and I pray, and wrapping this up, just make this, put this right out there, is that this will make us think about as we go through our day, every day, wherever we go, whatever we do, whoever we come in contact with, we are always scattering seed. The thing is it seed for the kingdom of God? Is it seed that can make a spiritual difference? Or is it, as some people say, sowing discord and distrust or whatever, you know? What, I guess that's a good way to put it. We're always sowing seeds. What kind of seeds are we sowing? You know? And can we enter a day, can we go through life determined that I'm going to sow good seeds today? Okay? So I said last week it was keep growing. Today it's keep sowing. All right? God's word changes hearts, minds, lives, relationships, families, churches, communities, nations in the world. And so we should be mindful of what can I do to sow seed that will bring harvest for the kingdom of God? And there's all kinds of venues to do that. We do it in our families. We do it at our workplaces, at our schools, in our church, in our community, wherever we go. And again, keeping in mind, it's not just the big things. Because some people hold back. They say, well, if I can't do a big thing, I won't do anything. No, do what you can. Because the smallest things, like a seed, can make a big difference. Tiny seed can grow into a big plant and produce more seeds, more fruit. Okay. A thought to end up with, I hope this has happened to you. I hope it's happened to you a lot. I hope it'll happen to you a lot going forward. But when you have the opportunity, somebody will actually come back and tell you that something you did or said, even if it didn't seem that big, made a big difference in their life. I tell you what, there's not a lot that's more rewarding than that. To know that God used you to do something, even though you didn't think it was that significant, and it really made a difference. It just popped into my head. I'm thinking of, you know, we encourage you guys to sign the missionary birthday cards and the Christmas cards and stuff. And it seems like a little thing to just stop and take 10 seconds to sign a card. But we hear over and over and over. In fact, we just got a letter in the mail yesterday from the missionaries we support in Alaska. And they wrote a specific letter back to our church to say, thank you so much for the birthday cards. They just got them this last month. That it meant so much to them. The little things, they can make a big difference. So we need to keep sowing and make sure we're sowing the right kind of seed. Yeah, make sure we're sowing the right kind of seed. All right, well, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we've had to look at your word tonight about sowing, about how the things that you put in our hearts, the things you instruct us to do, you know, just the little things, big things, things that are based on your word, your character, the truth of the gospel, very important so that people can come to know Jesus. But Lord, even just the words of encouragement and the prayers and the support and being there for people and listening and all that kind of thing, how it can make a big difference. I pray that we would, as we go through our lives, we've got a lot of things we've got to do, important stuff, and we got to live our lives and make a living and various things. But as we go through it, Lord, help us to be mindful of how we can make a difference in other people's lives in a positive way, but especially in an eternal way, in a spiritual way, just by being open to sowing seeds, whatever those seeds look like. And Lord, as Lisa was talking about praying, we pray, Lord, that you'd give us wisdom and insight on how to do that in every situation with certain individuals. What is it that we can do? What is it that we can say? How is it we can go about it? And Lord, sometimes it's stuff that's not easy, Lord, because the person doesn't respond the right way. They're not very lovable. They're maybe be antagonistic, or it may require a lot of work. But Lord, give us what we need to be able to do that. And Lord, we thank you that if we're obedient to you and we sow the seed, we can rest because the actual growth is up to them and you, because you're the one that brings about the growth. Just help us to be faithful to do what we're supposed to do. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.